Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Jesus Christ,
Babaji,
Bahe Mahasya,
Swami Sri
Yukteswarji,
Master,
Mother,
Saints and sages of all
religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Jerry sent a funny in the via internet. I thought I'd share. I'm not sure how it applies to today, but we'll figure out some way. So there's a Saskatchewan water resource manager, and he's out visiting the farms and looking for how people are using water. So he goes to this farmer, and he says, "I'm here to inspect your fields." And the farmer says, "Well, you can look at all the fields, but don't look at that field over there." Well, the inspector was not very impressed with this, and he says, "Don't you understand? I can look at any piece of your property without question, without any answers on your part. I can go anywhere I want to. Do you understand? Do you see this card here? That means I can go anywhere I want to." The farmer says, "So do you understand?" He says, "Yes, I understand." So he goes off and he wanders through the property. Well, he goes into that field that the farmer had warned him about. The farmer's overworking with his tools, and suddenly he hears these screams for help. He drops all his tools, he goes running, and he sees this water inspector running for his life with the biggest bull you've ever seen in your life, with these big horns sticking out, chasing after him. And as he's running, the bull's getting closer and closer to him, and the farmer runs up to the fence and he says, "Show him your card! Show him your card!" So much for authority on the temporal level. When I was flying back down from Prince Rupert on the Dash 8, which is not one of the more comfortable planes in the world these days, but as you know, most of you know, Swami Satchitananda left the body recently. And so some writing came to me about him. It's titled, "His Perennial Light." The passing of a great one from his physical confines releases a spiritual force that blesses all the world. The dearest of friends no longer has a hand to hold, nor eyes in which to gaze, no feet at which to prostrate. I miss his presence already, though I live at a great distance. The world itself misses him, knowingly or unknowingly. An ache in my heart tells me something dear is gone. A heaviness in being reveals an eclipse occurring. Tears well up. Goodbye, my dear one. You have lit my way, my deepest, deepest, deepest love to you." Thus far, I have spoken of the human, the lesser, all of which is true. However, it is not all the truth. For there is another knowledge, deeper, more profound, eternal, and all-pervasive. With the death of a body comes a resurrection in spirit for those attuned to sacredness, with inner eyes to see and ears to hear. The inner eye doth see a shining and glorious soul, living free and joyous, all heart's desire fulfilled. Spirit perceives spirit.
rising to love's greatest communion. No narrow limits remain, no sorrow can enter therein. For joy follows upon joy. Blessed smiles radiate welcome, personalities are transparent, doorways to omnipresent bliss. Life, life eternal, obvious and without doubt, this truth reverberates forevermore. Life is God, and God is life. Human and divine are two perceptions under one reality, revealing a lesser and greater existence, an inner hand with an outer glove. Human cannot stand alone, for separateness is suffering. Suffering instigates desire for freedom, and freedom comes only from realizing God. And this is what this great one taught. This is what he lived. This is what he aspired for all to know. This is what made him great. I bow at the feet of his wisdom. My heart blossoms in his love. I dive deep in his fathomless soul, and I will forever soar high in his perennial light. And this, of course, is his picture, blessing the Rudraksha meditation beads that Larry brought back for John. So, great blessing. And this is something that was written down of what Swamiji said for our beloved Papa's Sannyas Day. His Sannyas Day is the day that he renounced the world. And so Swamiji says, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Brothers and sisters, this day, 69 years ago, we were all blessed. Vital Ro became Swami Ramdas for the benefit of innumerable devotees who were to come in contact with him over these years. Swami Ramdas, beloved Papa, as all of you know, was leading an ordinary householder's life till he was 36. It was then that the call came to him to dedicate his entire life for the sake of realizing his oneness with the Supreme Being, and also to guide the seekers of truth on the path to reach the same goal. The greatest gift beloved Papa gave us is our beloved Mataji, who within a short time of her contact with beloved Papa reached the summit of God realization. She was made a fit instrument to serve all those who came in contact with him and who visited the ashram, and also to carry on the great work he had started. Both are, for us, concrete examples to what heights Ramnam can raise an individual and transform the human into the divine. Beloved Papa has made the path very simple for us, as he expects us only to chant Ramnam constantly, to look upon everything and everybody as Ram himself or God himself, and accept every situation as brought about by the separate supreme will of Ram. He does not want us to renounce the world or the family life, or to take to a life of wandering sannyasi or stay in the Himalayas to do tapas. He wants everyone to remain where God has placed him or her and do sadhana in that condition without making any external change whatsoever, but only renounce the sense of I and mine. Let us recollect how intense was his devotion and how fiery was his aspiration. The moment he heard Ramnam chanted by anybody, he used to go into ecstasy. He could keep himself chanting the name all the 24 hours. We should not take it that the path is so simple. Beloved Papa's first instruction is that we should keep chanting the holy name constantly. Constant chanting means chanting the name without break, all the 24 hours of the day, and all of the days of the month, and so on. If this is practice, everything else will automatically follow. But to keep chanting the name all the 24 hours needs the highest devotion for God, and an intense aspiration to realize Him. The aspiration should be such that we should feel we want only God and nothing but God. Only in such a state of mind will we be able to keep the name constantly. Beloved Papa also has hinted to us that if we do not have deep devotion for God, and if the aspiration is not as intense as it should be, we should pray to God seated in our hearts, appeal to Him, cry out to Him, that He may bless us with more and more devotion and make us aspire for Him alone. Then comes the second point, i.e. looking upon everything and everybody as forms of our beloved Ram. This is possible only when we have the constant remembrance of God. Beloved Papa saw the entire universe as God, as a projection of Ram himself, and as such, every form we see or think of is He himself. We have to train our mind to give up the sense of diversity and see only unity, that is to see the whole universe not as separate forms and entities without any relation to each other, but as separate parts of one and the same God. I'll read that again. We have to train our mind to give up the sense of diversity and see only unity, that is to see the whole universe not as separate forms and entities without any relation to each other, but as different parts of one and the same God. As God is the absolute power, it is understood that by whatever happens in the universe happens by His power alone, and therefore no individual is responsible for whatever is done by him or her. God's power alone is working through every human being, animals, insects, or plants, or everything in the universe, and every incident has God's hand behind it. If we are thus able to see that everything happens by His power only, we reach a state of perfect surrender to His will, and there will be no reason for us to be unhappy at any time. This is the way to erase our ego and get rid of it ultimately. If our sadhana, or our spiritual practice, on the above lines progresses satisfactorily, our mind will get purified. Purification of the mind means removal of vasanas, etc. Vasanas are those obstacles, those things that are not of that highest consciousness, which are considered the dirt of the mind. When the vasanas disappear, the thought waves in the mind will also subside, and the mind will reach such a state of stillness. It is in this stillness that every sadhaka is striving for, as in the still mind alone, God reveals Himself. Though the path shown by beloved Papa appears to be easy and can be practiced by anyone who is aspiring for God realization, it is often asked why progress is slow, and in some cases, no progress is seen at all. If such a question arises in the mind, we have to ask ourselves, have we chanted Ram Nam constantly? Are we trying to accept every situation, good or bad, as brought about by Ram himself? Have we been able to expand our heart and love everybody as our own? Are we able to sacrifice our little comforts for the sake of giving more happiness to others? Are we trying to look upon everybody and everything in the universe as a manifestation of Ram? Are we really aspiring for God and nothing else? Are we satisfied with whatever God gives us with regard to physical comforts, position, etc.? Are we able to feel humble before everybody? Are we free from dislike, hatred, or enmity? If the answer is no, it means we are not very sincere in our quest, and therefore we cannot expect speedy progress. In such a condition, we should pray to beloved Papa, seated in our hearts, to intensify our aspiration, and to make us love Him more than we love anything else. Such a constant prayer will surely make beloved Papa cast His gracious look on us and help us progress fast. Never be satisfied with anything less than the highest realization of our oneness with beloved Papa, and seeing Him as the entire manifestation. May beloved Papa graciously bless us and help us
the aspiring souls to reach his lotus feet. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Ram.
I think this is a beautiful saying that he spoke on the occasion, and just perfect. It sets out for us both the highest goal and the means for achieving that goal. All the great masters have given us something of supreme simplicity. Mother's greatest saying, I think, is keep your mind on God. And of course, Papa's means for keeping the mind on God was to sing this simple song. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram Om. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram Om.
He added the word Om to it, which he felt shortened the pathway because of the tremendous vibration that comes from that name. And he developed that little tune just that went over and over and over in his mind. When he opened these two eyes and he looked out, he did not see just individuals, but he saw God behind everyone. He told the wonderful story about the mother who was telling her child stories, and in order to enhance the stories, she made up various masks to wear while she was telling the stories. And one day, she wore this very terrible, awful mask. And the child at first was terrified. And as it went under covers and was seeking to protect itself from this terrible mask, suddenly it got the idea, perhaps that's my mother behind that mask. And so it reached up and it pulled down the mask. And when the mask came down, there was the smiling mother behind the mask. Just think of being able to do this with everything and everyone in the world. We take ourselves and our lives and things that happen around us so seriously. We personalize things. We think if such and such wasn't the way that they are, then we would be free and happy if they weren't creating such problems for me. And yet there's always such and such. Somebody will take their place if that person leaves our lives. Because that oppositional force, that duality within this world is constant. We can never get to arrange this world just the way that we want it and keep it there for our own happiness. Therefore, the lesson begins to dawn on us, and it is long and slow, because we cling on to that fantasy that if the world were just the way I want it to be, then I would be happy. And we give up on that fantasy eventually. We let go of it, and we begin to accept that everything comes at God's hand. Papa did this, and it doesn't mean that everything went smoothly for him. He tells story after story where some individual would mistreat him from a human standpoint, but Papa would see it as God himself coming, who is angry with him, who may be beating him, who may be doing all kinds of things to him. At one point, Papa was at one village, and they just revered him as a saint. They put him up on a dais. They were prostrating at his feet. They were giving him all kinds of flowers and adoration. And then Ram said to quit that place and to move on. So he did, and he got onto a train. Oftentimes, when he traveled by train in India, he didn't have any ticket. He would just board onto the train. And at least by some, it was accepted that sannyasis, or renunciants dressed in orange clothing, would travel for free since they carried no money with them. And so he would travel on the trains in this way. Well, this was a whole crowded car that he got into. And as he sat down on the floor, it got more and more crowded, and more people came, and suddenly they were kicking him, and he was rolled up into a little tiny ball on the floor in a corner. And so people wouldn't even see him. They would kick him. They would step on him by accident. And he just started laughing to himself. And he said, oh, Ram, your play is wonderful. You have taken me from this place where people are showing me adoration and having me up on the dais and showing all of this love. And now you are giving me these kicks and these hits. And it's all the same because it's all coming from you. Even these hits and these kicks are coming from you. And when he thought along in this fashion, he went into an ecstasy. Because you see, when you see God in every situation and in every person, it transforms the situation. And it also transforms the person that you're interacting with. It
transports a radiance, an inner radiance from you, and it goes out to the person who you're interacting with. It can't help it. And so Papa felt that the greatest thing that he could do is see everyone and everything as God. It was both for his highest and best edification, because when he saw the world that way, he was lifted up into that divine consciousness. And also, when he saw other people that way, it transmitted that vibration, that energy to the person. And so many times, he would see a complete transformation where somebody would be just lividly angry. And he would say, "You are God himself who has come to be angry with his child, Ram Dass." And suddenly the person would just have to drop the anger, because isn't it true that so oftentimes if we're angry or we're in a charged mood, we depend on somebody's reaction. We get energy from it. And if somebody doesn't react in the way that we're expecting, suddenly that anger or whatever it is we're feeling just drops from us. It doesn't have any place to go. There's nothing for it to respond to. And this is what Papa found time after time. And so it's also a thrice blessing, because it goes out to the world as a whole. That vibration goes out and out and out, especially when it's attuned to divine consciousness. So through chanting the name constantly, through seeing the world as God, his mind gradually got purified. That is, his old states of likes and dislikes began to drop away. And he began to see everything and everyone as divine. He went to Ramana Maharshi, and when he did, no words were exchanged, no teachings were exchanged. The great Maharshi just looked at him for a few minutes, and Papa held his gaze. And there was transmitted a great spiritual power. And from that, he went up into the hills of Arunachala there, a very sacred hill, very powerful vibrations. And for over 20 days, he chanted constantly. And when he came out of that cave, he saw everyone and everything as God. Now this is a tremendous, tremendous transformation. And what is said is that every one of us has that capacity. Now as Swami Satchidananda said here, Papa did not ask everyone to leave their homes as he did, to go on for a wandering life and so on. That you could be right in your home. Ramakrishna used to say, why not fight the battle right from the fortress, meaning your family home? And if you can't meditate in the comfort of your own home, do you think it's going to be easier in a musty, wet, dirty cave? It's not an easy life. And so we have this opportunity. But do we take it? Do we put full advantage to it? When we have spare time, do we chant to God? Do we meditate on God? Do we love God? Do we read ennobling and uplifting books? Or do we waste our time away with this thing and that thing? At first, the devotee, the aspirant, is aspiring for something more, but there's such a strong subconscious and conscious prompters to go down the old patterns, to get into the old routines. And so you have to fight very hard to change those routines, to change those subconscious patterns. Eventually, those new patterns begin to cycle through the subconscious mind. Now the subconscious mind is supporting you. Where before you were chanting during the daytime, now perhaps in a dream, or just coming to you unsought through the day, you begin to chant those names. You begin to think on God. You feel the upliftment in God. It begins to transform you. Now your subconscious and conscious minds are merging into the superconscious mind, or that place where we experience divine consciousness. That helps to accelerate even further your divine consciousness. I oftentimes say that in the beginning you take up meditation, and then at some wonderful moment meditation begins to take you up, because it releases and unleashes a power inside of you that begins to transform you. And instead of now you are trying to awaken that force, now you attune yourself to that divine intelligence and power as it courses throughout your being. Now you can never tell where this journey will take you, and that's part of your surrender. Over the last few days, I've met with many of you and have many wonderful times with you. But as God is wont through those times, oftentimes, and not just with the immediate people, but because consciousness extends out over all time and space, it can connect with those who are all over the world. But there's an inner fire that begins to burn within this body. And this last night, the fire was raging all through the night. And it's just like a fire, only it doesn't burn or char the skin in an ordinary kind of way. And yet it brings, at times, tremendous pain and tremendous pressure. Because that's part of the purification that occurs. It's a way that God can arrange it for there to be help to those who are seeking to aspire to something greater. Sometimes people carry with them a great, great sorrow. It is a sorrow of the soul. It is beyond circumstances. It goes beyond something that you may have experienced in childhood, or it goes beyond something that you can just explain in easy terms. And so that kind of depth of sorrow in the soul goes and traces itself all the way back to the divine origin. It is a sorrow of separation. It is a sorrow that is created through what the Buddha called suffering. Because when we live in that separation, it is suffering, even though we have times of happiness, times of fulfillment, of that there is no doubt. But that ultimately every one of those times of fulfillment and of happiness will turn sour on us. It's just the nature of the world. It's just the way that it is. And we see people who are constantly trying to improve this world, and it is a good thing that that is done. And yet, on one level, this world will never be perfected. And you see people sometimes who want peace in this world, but they're very angry. They have no peace themselves, that there is a state in the world where there are conflicts, where there are fights, and certainly we want to see a harmonious world. Of that there is no doubt. But when we remain so attached that the world ought to look a certain way, and it doesn't, and it produces an anger, and it produces such a deep sense of distress inside of us, you see, that doesn't do us any good, because we're not accepting what is. We're not accepting that this world is in an evolutionary path, and that there's very rough things that happen along the way. But what we must know is that with every difficulty, there is a corresponding grace for those who are open to it. Those souls who really become lost, those who really get out of sorts, are those ones who close themselves off toward the divine source, towards God coming in and giving them comfort and aid and strength and wisdom. When you're not open to that, when you're determined to be closed, now why would anybody choose to close themselves off from that? And it is what I oftentimes call that people are having running arguments with God about how He runs His universe. I don't like this. I don't like this person. I don't like how they treat me. I don't like this situation. I don't like that situation. And so what is our ultimate power when otherwise we feel powerless? We withhold ourselves. I'm not going to give. That happens in marriages. That happens in friendships. I'm not going to see you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to do anything for you because I'm angry with you. And we have that kind of cosmic argument going on with God. I don't like how things are. I've been disappointed. I've been hurt. Therefore, I'm going to close myself off from you. Now, it's not something that's thought out in that kind of an orderly way in most cases. It's an instinctual thing. It's something that happens in the emotional body. And we close the door and we lock it. And we're determined not to open it. Why? Because we don't want our hearts hurt. We don't want to feel pain. And yet we've closed ourselves off from the very source of healing that would heal that pain inside of us. So this is the struggle that goes on for every person as they ascend that stairway into divine consciousness. at every step in that stairway. We face the oppositional force. We come up against those things that try men's souls. And for each individual, it's somewhat different because each person's karma is different. Their background, their history is different. And yet there are some commonalities to it all. And we have to be willing to have the courage and the strength and the fortitude to face every one of those things. Now, I can tell you from my own experience that the fears that come up, I went through several years of experiencing fear and anxiety. And before that, I would not have described myself as having a lot of fears and anxiety, and so it seemed like I was getting worse rather than better. And what I came to know is that this is a hallmark of what it means to purify the mind. At one point, Papa was walking down the path and a rage came over him, so terrific, he just fell down into the dust and he was swimming in the dust in this complete and utter rage. It had to come up in order to go out, you see. If you think about stuffing everything down into the basement, it has to come out through the main floor to be taken out to the burning barrel. It's the only way to clean out the basement. So everything has to come up in this way, but we don't invest it with new energy. We don't identify with it once again. We recognize the process, that this is part of the purification of the mind. So if you have anger, if you have fear, if you have anxiety, it's not just there to plague you. It's there to be released. So we have to be very careful that we don't reinvigorate it with new life energy by totally identifying with it. We stand back from it. We see it as passing through and out into the flame of light. And therefore, we give it away. We're constantly giving it away and then reorienting the mind back to God, chanting God's name, loving God, serving God, using discrimination of the mind. These are the ways that we're able to transform consciousness. And when we do, what can we expect? We can expect that as the basement's cleaned out, that there will be a sparkling, clean kind of feeling that begins to happen all the way through, a sense of purity, a sense of light, a light that goes into every aspect of our being. There are no dark corners left. We stand childlike before the divine source. We feel ourselves filled with peace, with love, with joy. We no longer discriminate against this person and that because they disappointed us. We realize that this is a play, this is a lila. And in the beginning, we're lifted up purely into the joy and bliss of God. But when we come back down into human consciousness, we reassume once again the human ego, but eventually that too is purified. I went to Mother one time with a problem, and I said, Mother, I can feel God so greatly inside of me, but when I get around people, I don't see it in other people. And she said, first you feel God within you, then you get the universal vision, then you see Him everywhere about. And her words were absolutely true. First you feel the joy, the glory, the beauty of God within you. You see it in some places, in some people, because they're more pure conduits of that light. But for those who cause you trouble, you easily slip back into old patterns. But we have to really work at this, recognizing that that's an old habit pattern. It's just a habit pattern. That's all it is. It's not you. It never has been. But we've identified with it, you see. And you'll hear people sometimes say, well, that's just the way I am. It's not just the way you are. That's not how God created you. God created you as that perfect, pure being, made in the image and likeness of divine consciousness. And not until we attain to that. I asked Swami Satchidananda when I was there in 1998. I said, are you realized? And he said, no. He said, Sahaja Samadhi, or natural state Samadhi, comes, as Papa had it, and there is absolutely no effort required to keep the mind on God. He said, at that point, he says, then you have entered into that highest state. He said, I have not yet attained to that. such openness, such honesty, such childlike nature that he had. He told the story, it reminded me of it when it's talked about the dirt of the mind. And there was a lady devotee one time who went up to a cave where there was a renunciant. She wanted his blessings. And so he was sitting there deep in meditation, and she sat there for some time. And after she sat there for quite a while, she cleared her throat and made a little noise just to see if she could awaken his interest and whether he'd open his eyes. No such thing. She let quite a long time go by, and finally she thought, well, he's not coming out today. So she got up to leave, and at that time he stirred, and he said, ah, yes, my child, what is it that you want? And she said, I came here to get your blessings, but you've been sitting there in stony silence, and I didn't know whether you would come out today or not. He said, yes, yes. He said, yesterday I went into town. He said, and I had some disturbing images that occurred and have stayed with me since then, so I've been sweeping. And I've been sweeping the dirt out, and I had to finish sweeping the dirt out before I could tend to you. And so this is what we do when we go deep into meditation. We sweep the dirt out, and the dirt is all of those disturbing, distressing thoughts and feelings that come up when you sit down to meditate. Meditation is both a verb and it is a noun. As a verb, it is a thing of action. We try to meditate. We work to meditate. It is also a noun because it becomes a state of being. When we are in a true state of meditation, we enter into a true state of being. We are no longer trying to do anything. We are no longer in action. It is a pure state of being now. And that is the goal that we aim for. That is what we strive for as we watch the breath. As we do our kriya, as we do our hangsa, and we watch the breath, we bring it gradually, 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 until the breath comes into a very still state and the mind with it. That was one of the great discoveries by the yogis, is the connection of the breath with mind and body and spirit. All of these states of consciousness are all connected with the breath. And so as you just simply watch the breath, and the breath begins to slow down, you naturally begin to exhibit the qualities of the great soul within you, the Atman, the supreme state of being. Now these are real experiences. They're not something that you have to think up or be in imagination. And when they happen, you realize this is more powerful, it feels more real than your outer life. So it's not something that's just a vague imagination. Sometimes you hear people speak, and, oh, yes, I had this experience and that. But you can tell by the way that they speak about it, it has not moved and changed them to the degree that a deep, powerful spiritual experience can and will change you. And for that, we have to be able to surrender and to let go. These are the most profound teachings that can be said in the most simple words. And as you get deeper and deeper into the teachings, these simple words take on more and more profound meaning. And at each level and each step that you go through, you say, ah, that's the same truth being spoken. The same truth that I've said myself, and now I understand it on such a deeper level. And in one sense, there's no end to the depth of that learning, that understanding, that unfolding that happens deep within your soul. But there does come a change within you, and that change is that you feel now established in that divine consciousness. That there never is a time that it's absent. That you have this universal vision, and you don't see the world in any other way. Now, in my writing about Swamiji, I spoke of the lesser and the greater. And this is one of the great teachings of Mother. Many times in East Indian teachings and in yogic teachings, you will see where people will talk about God absolute, Nirguna, without qualities, beyond time and space, beyond all creation, and this is true. But this is not the absolute realization. The absolute realization is the universal vision. And it is Saiguna, God with qualities, God with form, God expressed as the universe. Papa entitled one of his books, "The World is God." And this states this profound truth that the divine supreme spirit that you find in the upper reaches of your own consciousness is then found to be manifesting in every part of creation, every single part. However your human part wishes to judge it, and it's not a matter of adopting a belief, it is a universal vision, it is an experience that is so profound and so powerful, it changes you. And it changes the way that you see this world, it changes the way that you think about it, it informs you on every single level of your being. This is powerful. And it is profound. But it is the measuring stick by which we can see whether we are making progress upon the path. Are we deepening ourselves in that universal vision? Or are we getting fooled by this world, getting sucked in by all of its various natures? You can assess yourself every single day. Being able to reflect on your life is one of the great psychological advances that a soul makes that is required in order to make progress upon the path. You have to be able to assess, how did I do today? Did I measure up to the highest spiritual standards? And if I didn't, can I learn from it? And can I intensify my practice so that tomorrow I get it deeper? I don't let go. I see it more profoundly and more deeply. If you're not doing that kind of practice, you're not on the spiritual path. You're just treading water. And it's not good enough. It's not going to get you to your goal. Now, there are many things that happen in this world that can stir up our anxieties, our fears, our lusts, our desires. You have to learn to let them go. It's not that you live in emptiness, not at all. But in divine consciousness, you discover something greater, something more profound, something more preferable than anything you found in a human sense. So let us learn to measure our lives. Let us learn to analyze and assess. That is a place where we can start out on the human level. And when we make progress, we will feel such profound peace and joy, love and light and wisdom, that it'll transform our internal being. You will begin to radiate a light within and without. And you will be a blessing, not only to yourself, not only to your family, but to the world at large. This is the greatest thing that you can do for this world. If you want something good for this world, getting your own God realization is the place to start. Papa used to say you can do no good until you have God realization. That's quite an astounding statement, isn't it? And yet, from an absolute state of truth, it is true. Because no matter what the human ego does, it's tainted. It's tainted with self-interest. Even when you think you're trying to be selfless, there are hidden tentacles of ego that are attached to those things. It's only when you become a pure instrument of divine consciousness that you can truly do good for this world. So in honoring a saint, any great saint, and Swami Satchidananda stands among one of the greats. And in honoring him, the best way you can honor him is the same thing that Mother used to say when people asked, "What can we do to help you with your work, Mother?" And she would say, "You can get busy and you can get your own God realization. Put it right back in your lap." But who does it? Who does it? This is the question for each one of us to answer. And to answer that call, now and always. May you ever be blessed upon your journey. May God and the great masters ever guide you, ever light your way, and instill in you that great desire that takes you beyond the little human self into your divine self, your divine soul, into the nature of God within you, so that you may experience what is innate within all human beings. This is my wish, this is my prayer for each and every one of you. It is God's wish. It is His prayer, but He can't go against your will. You see, He's given each one of us free will. We'd like to think so sometimes, wouldn't we? Why don't you just do it for me, God? But that's not how it works. We have to, with all of our strength, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our heart, strive for, open ourselves to, and allow the divine consciousness to move through us and to change our lives. So may the blessings of Swami Satchidananda, Mother, Master, and all the great saints and sages of the world lift you and guide you unto your heavenly home. Join with me in prayer. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection, surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
To the light within your own being. We can sit in quietness of the vibration for a bit and